Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Observation about the celebrations with the NHL Stanley Cup and the NBA championship.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this either, if you were watching both of the celebrations after they both leagues were ending there. But in the NHL, when the Blues won the Stanley Cup and they're passing the cup around, every player shouted expletives, right?
Yep.
And they're skating around.
Wasn't it always the same expletive, too? The same.
Yeah, it was an F-bomb. And usually followed by yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I think I always find it funny. And I thought it was even better that NBC just gave up on the dump button. That they were just letting it fly. All right, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do. Let it happen. In stark contrast to the NBA, which sounded like, pick your poison if you want to say it sounded like a kung fu movie because everything was just, it didn't jibe up what the lips were saying because it was bleeped out, or it wasn't even bleeped out, it was just cut out.
Right, they just dumped the audio when somebody,
They couldn't stop doing it. They just, you wouldn't hear any of it. They would go long stretches without any audio because they had to dump it. I just thought it was interesting. The NHL let it go, and the NBA was very cognizant of it and made sure it didn't happen. Now, maybe because the audiences watching are so vastly different in terms of popularity of the sport, I'm guessing the NBA drew at least, twice the number that the NHL did for the Game 7?
Probably, at least.
You are right, actually. But the NHL did very well for the NHL. They won the night with like a 6-6 rating. The NBA had low ratings for the NBA, but it was still a 12-3 or something like that. And that's low for the NBA Finals, but maybe ABC learned from NBC, though. Hey, we got to dump these things. You know what I mean? See what happened the other night? We can't let that happen on our show.
The FCC might be listening. They might want to come
dump
down.
Dump it all, guys. Just dump it all.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I came to this conclusion last night, and then again this morning, Kang, when you showed the viral video of Kawhi Leonard running around celebrating and then like almost realizing he was celebrating and just stopping. This is my million-dollar idea, my TV show idea.
Are you going to give it up?
I'm going to give it up right now. So consider this pro bono consultant work.
This isn't like the one guy who thought he invented cruise control, right?
No, I don't think so. I have an idea for a TV show, Life of Kawhi, where there's just a camera that follows around Kawhi Leonard 24/7.
Well, that could see that happening.
Because I got to tell you, I am fascinated by this dude. I feel it's borderline insulting to call him weird. I will just call him different. He is as different a pro star as I can remember there being. He is the thought process. Remember the story we had last week, which may or may not be true. And if it's not true, it's totally believable because the guy is so different. That when he went to buy a car with a teammate and the teammate said, was there with the dealer and he asked the dealer the kind of car he wanted was one where the steering wheel won't come off and fly out the window.
Right.
That's what his criteria was.
Yeah. Starts right there. And I think it starts right there with everybody when they're buying a car.
Yes. Most people don't know to even ask the question.
Right.
Like why?
It's like my dad looking at boats. How many cup holders?
Exactly,
that's
right?
The first thing
what
he
was
asked.
The other story? That he went out to dinner with the entire San Antonio Spurs
Apple
team.
Time.
They asked what he wanted for dinner. He said nothing. When the food showed up, he pulled out a bag of a dozen apples, said apple time, got a knife and fork, and started eating the apples out of the bag with a knife and fork. Life of Kawhi, TV show.
I think it would be worse than you think, actually. I think the first episode, you'd be fascinated. By episode 2, 3, and 4, you'd be like, this is the most boring man on earth. We need to cancel this show.
Perhaps.
He doesn't do anything.
Perhaps.
I think it's like the one the theory people are throwing out there, which was Kawhi's family does not know he's an NBA player.
Yep.
He comes home from work. They ask him how his day was. He goes, okay, and they just eat dinner.
Yep.
That's it.
And then the next day he gets up and goes to work.
Exactly.
Dad's going to work.
Yep.
How was your day, honey? Fine. How was your day, Dad? It's good. And that's it.
Apple time.
Apple. He has dinner with the family and he has Apple.
I mean, if that Apple story is true, Macintosh has got to get on board, right? I mean, yes. They got it like, Kawhi, we would love to design a new logo, a new software program.
Right.
It's Apple time, mm-hmm. right?
Kawhi's picture all over the Genius Bar.
Yep.
You might be right. It might be the most boring thing or it might be the most fascinating thing.
And that's why he's going to be a Detroit Piston next year.
See, I love your theory that he's just different enough that he could come. He's a superstar that would actually come to a place like Detroit, except for Detroit lacking this thing called cap space. Cap space.
We'll pay him in apples.
Oh, that's true.
We've got great apples here.
Great apples.
Michigan apples are awesome. I mean, have you been to the cider mill, Kawhi?
Oh, we got tons of those.
We got several of those right here. Come on.
Good ones, too. The thing about the Kawhi stories are, although they're probably none of them are true, he's such a different guy, you could believe they were true.
Yep.
There's
a chance.
The thing about life of Kawhi is you'd have to think the production value wouldn't be much, right? Like, that's one of the big allures of reality TV is you're not paying the stars all that much, and you don't have to do all that much. You just put on wireless. You're like paying for batteries on the wireless mics they're wearing. That's it. Okay. I mentioned that there were athletes out there who were lying about accomplishments. And these guys have been outed. Three guys from India. Vikas Rana.
I love when you're going to try to read these names. Go ahead.
Shobha Banwala.
Oh, yeah.
And Ankush Kasana claimed that they summited Everest on May 26th.
Congratulations.
Yep. They had four Sherpa guys help get these three to the top.
That's more than a guide per person.
Mm-hmm.
Seems excessive.
The Himalayan Times began investigating the team's claims after they were tipped. The way the climbers tell it, they reached the top of Everest at 10:30 a.m. on May 26th. Only to be sighted 11,000 feet below that at Camp 3 within 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It would take 6 hours for the most experienced climbers to get from the top to Camp 3. And they did it in 2 hours. Meanwhile,
these guys are really good.
They also in no way documented the fact that they made it to the top. There was no photographic evidence.
Who does that?
Well, only everyone.
Right.
Additionally, the day that they said that they summited Everest, May 26th, everybody else decided to take a pass because it was too windy. Nobody else went to the top. Just these three.
And four Sherpas.
And four Sherpas. They went back to India, talking about their accomplishment, top of Everest. And they've been outed as lying. Now, this has happened before. And how about this? The people that lie about summiting Everest get banned from climbing in Nepal for 10 years. This is punishable by a 10-year ban from climbing in Nepal.
Okay.
But did you ever catch anyone lying about their athletic accomplishments?
I did.
Did you?
I did. And maybe 10 years ago. I was playing blackjack at somewhere in town. It wasn't at a casino. It was one of these restaurants that had a blackjack room in the back for charity stuff.
Yep.
And it was late night. There weren't many people playing. I was playing at a table. It was this woman sitting a couple seats away from me, and it was a guy next to me. So this guy in between us. The woman was rather attractive. And the guy is clearly checking her out. And is very interested in her. And she starts talking to him, and they start to get to know each other a little bit. And then she says, she asked him what his name was. And I forget what he said his name was, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But then she said, what do you do? And he goes, I don't like to say this, but I'm a professional athlete. And then I'm just laughing. I'm like, all right, here we go. What do you got, you know? And I'm not saying anything.
Couldn't wait.
Right. I'm like, let's find out. He goes, yeah, I play with the Red Wings. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what's his name? Nope. because at the time, this may have been actually when I was still covering this, it may have been longer than 10 years ago, when I was still in the room a lot for the Red Wings. I'm like, this guy's not a Red Wing player. No way. At some point, the dude gets up and excuses himself to go to the bathroom or something like that. And we're left talking, and I'm getting ready to leave anyway. So as I get ready to leave, I tell her, I said, listen, I know you don't know me from anybody, but trust me when I tell you this, he ain't a Red Wing. There's no way, no how that guy's a Red Wing.
Love it.
You can believe me or not believe me, but I'm somebody who would probably know, but just be warned. And she goes, oh, well, thank you very much. I said, yeah. So I don't know what ended up happening, but
did he come back to the table?
I assume he did. I left as
you,
I was.
You know what? It would have just been so much fun if you'd started to slowly unravel his story. Like,
right.
Like
today,
to just go,
if this happened today, I would, you know,
yeah,
me,
that's
I would
totally
mess with. I would just go, oh yeah, you play the Wings, huh?
Awesome. Yeah. That is great. I was watching a game the other night. Did you?
Yeah.
How about that fight, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, that wasn't the Wings. That was another team I was watching. I'm sorry.
But just to slowly,
right,
like bait him.
Right. And then he gets really more and more uncomfortable and decides to bail at some point because he knows he's been had.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever catch anyone in a lie about their athletic accomplishments? This on the heels of the three climbers, Vikas Rana, Shobha Banwala, and Ankush Kasana. Three Indian climbers who claim they summited Everest, and yet evidence, they couldn't prove it. There was no pictures. They were seen at Camp 3 2 hours after they said they were at the top of the world, which is impossible to do.
This guy even claimed he was a Swedish hockey player, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Because he had a different first name. I try to remember what the first name was.
But Jans?
No, it wasn't.
I don't even know if that is. Is that even Swedish?
Jens can be.
All right. Thank you.
I think I want to say he said his name was Per, P-E-R.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
Didn't there they
was,
have Per Juice?
Per Juice. It was a defenseman, absolutely. Yep. But this guy was saying he was a Red Wing now. This was during the summertime. So
great.
We had the summer off. I'm like, you're not a Red Wing. But
come
okay.
on, man. I can't. I'm so disappointed.
I've grown over the years to really needle people about with things like that. You know me, when somebody calls on a phone and it's some phone survey or scam. You know, I like to have fun with the scammers.
Yes, you do.
I would do it now, but I didn't do it then.
Oh, I better give you my credit card number?
No. Let me get the... You want my mother's maiden name, too? My Social Security number? I'll give it all to you. Sure.
But first, let me ask you
a few questions. Before I do that.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson. The feedback coming in looks rather interesting. The story that we got here is about these guys that claim that they climbed Everest, and yet they've been outed as liars. Which is fascinating, because let's think about this. At some point, they concocted the scheme, right? These are three guys that apparently never made it north of Camp 3, but were trying to get to the top of Everest. So, I mean, I think a lot of people go there and try and fail, but they couldn't...
Or die,
yeah. They couldn't face somebody. Somehow, some way, the three of them decided, all right, let's just tell people we made it to the top. So when you tell people you made it to the top and you go back to your home country and then here come the news cameras and the media and now it's getting big and it's getting out of hand and you're like, oh, crap. I mean, we immediately got an email from a listener who said, this reminds me of the kid who breaks the high school golf record with no witnesses and then it gets out of hand because here comes the little local reporter guy and it ends up in the paper and you made the whole thing up. You got problems. And then... I don't know. I haven't seen a follow-up whether or not one of them has cracked and admitted it. But when you go in on a caper like this, you're relying on the other two to caper. Hold strong right. with the story.
And didn't they not take any pictures?
Yeah, no pictures taken.
Like, who?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
isn't
I mean,
that the whole point for these people?
Yes.
Like, that is the point. Not even summiting. It's being able to take that picture, right?
You can't take the picture unless you get to the summit.
We decided it wasn't that good of enough picture. You know,
yeah.
We ran
bad
out of
lighting.
Memory.
Yeah. Just bad lighting.
Yeah.
Didn't get any good pictures.
Oh, you know what, guys? Left the camera at Camp 3.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My bad.
And they did strategically pick a day where no one went up, though, right, Doug?
Yeah, it was
so no
too much wind.
No one could say they didn't see
much. There was
there
too
because,
much wind.
Yeah.
Nobody else went up.
Listen, because their descent was rapid, maybe they slipped and they slid down a hell of a lot faster than climbing down.
I did hear a quote, yep, that said it was a lot easier going down than up. That's why they're so fast.
Yeah.
Guys, not worth it. Turn around.
Look, I saw the movie. It doesn't look that hard.
We had a guy at my work 5 years ago, 5 foot nothing, that claimed he'd climb Mount Everest, played basketball for UNC and ran a 4.2 40-yard dash. Years later, we bumped into him at a bar, and he asked, "What is new?" My friend instantly replies, "Just got back from climbing Mount Everest." My buddy Sean lies about his golf score every time he plays. Does that count?
Yep.
Yeah. 2-4-8-5-3-9-97-97. I was playing once with a guy who we all knew his pencil would get a little out of hand.
Oh.
And we all kind of ignored it and went along with it, even though we were playing for dinner in this outing. And on the 71st of 72 holes, I snapped.
You had enough?
So we're playing, and I hit the best drive I'd hit on the weekend. It's a par five. He goes into the woods.
Uh-huh.
You look over into the woods, and you see him swinging away, and eventually the ball comes out. Like, multiple swings, but eventually the ball kicks out. Then he hits an approach shot that was pretty good. Then he duffs one into the sand. Takes two shots getting out of the sand. I'm on the green in three with a makeable birdie putt, okay? I've got a makeable birdie putt.
And he's on the green, presumably in about seven at this point.
One went in. Let's say two came out. Three was approach. Four went into the sand. He took at least one shot to get out of the green, or get onto the green from the sand. So
one extra shot. So two out of the trap to get on.
At least two, mm-hmm. All right? So let's call it two. So what I say, now he's on the green in six.
At best.
And then I believed he two putts. I'm on in three.
He's got a snowman at best.
At best. But I was on in three, standing over a makeable birdie putt with great anticipation. Not only do I miss the birdie putt, I blow it past the hole.
Oh, three jack.
Don't leave a birdie putt short. Well, I sent it a mile long with that theory. Now I'm looking at a tough two putt back uphill. I'm thinking, I got to scramble to save par. I miss par. I tap in for a bogey.
You three jacked it. You got a six.
This guy, when he tapped in, called it a seven, and I snapped. Wait 1 second. One went in. It took you more than one to get out, but let's call it two. Your approach shot came up short. Then you go into the sand. That's four. At least two shots to get out. You two jack. And I mean, I said, you got at least an eight. Probably more. And I just snapped. Mostly because I was pissed at myself.
Sure, but also because you had had enough. This guy cheats all the time on the score. So now you call him out on having at least an eight. And what does he say?
Give me an eight.
Oh, he just said, fine, give me an eight. He didn't put up too much of a fight?
He said, okay, give me an
eight. My bad, you're right, eight. I legitimately sometimes misadded scores. I do it all the time. But usually it's in the other direction. Like, I cheat myself out of a stroke. Yeah. When Lesson and I were playing at the Rocket Mortgage media outing a couple weeks ago, I actually screwed up a score. I'm like, well, that's a five, right? And he goes, Gator, that's a four. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, we had the one shot here, our drive here. We were over the green in two. We chipped on the green, and then we went, that's a four.
It confirms everything we know about you in math. 2-4-8-5-3-9-97-97.
This is no disrespect to you guys or anybody else that golfs. I don't believe any golfer ever. I think you guys are all liars and cheaters. Whether it's on purpose or not. I'm serious. Because we talk a lot of golf behind the glass because Sully and Evan, everyone, you know, Jimmy. And I'm just like, they even admit it too. Like, yeah, pretty much everyone lies. If you take a mulligan, aren't you cheating already?
Yes.
Sure, but
what is this breakfast ball crap? I mean,
if you haven't had a chance to warm up, you know.
That's not. And there's also
two off the first is, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
that's fine. If everyone agrees on it, well, everybody agrees on it. Yeah, you're lying and you're cheating yourself.
Wow. See, we're not on tour.
Well, you can't go around telling people what you shot.
Well, but there are things. Hold on. Who the F are you to judge us, A? And B,
I'll judge it.
There are stuff where in golf where, like, if you hit off the tee and hit out of bounds and there's people behind you, your choices are you can't find it. Do you go back and re-tee while everybody's sitting there waiting for you to get out of the way, or do you just drop it up there and take a stroke? I think most people just drop it up there and take a stroke in an effort to keep the round moving. But, yeah, I mean, there are some rule bends that go on. But
it's bending.
You know what? Up yours, man. Get out of here. We don't need to hear this from you. I don't need to be judged by you.
Just don't tell people your scores, because you didn't really shoot that. That's all I'm saying.
No, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you.
You're still mad about that.
I am a little mad about it. Let's go to Jeff and Holly on 97 The Ticket. Hi, Jeff.
What do you say, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
First off, nothing to do with my story, but maybe Brian Williams was covering that story about those three guys.
It could be, yeah.
Could be, for sure.
He was right there with them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. No cameras. Oh, sorry, guys. Can't record it. Anyway, a little bit about my story. I used to work in Royal Oak and was in the restaurant industry, and we get a phone call. We have our manager's meeting, and there's word that LeBron's coming in after the Cavs-Pistons game. And he's going to bring some entourage. You're going to rent out the VIP area. He's going to do it all because we're allowed to promote our establishment with his name attached to it. So
all right.
I'll try not to be long-winded with the story. The first group shows up, orders food. They're in the VIP area. They start talking, and I start chatting with the guy. So where are you from? Oh, I'm from the area. Oh, no kidding. Did you play high school hoops around here? Yeah. I played at Country Day, and then I played at Kansas. So I asked him what year he played. I said, so you played at Kansas with those twins. What were their names? Like, I knew the names, but I knew that he might not.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So then I
said, Morris twins.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, the Morris brothers. What were their first names? He struggles, finds his way through it. I said, so you played here at Country Day. Everybody knows who the boys' coach is at Country Day. I said, who's your coach at Country Day? And he says, I can't even remember the name. I said, did you play JV, varsity, freshman, what level? Oh, yeah, I started 3 years on varsity.
Oh,
I said,
okay.
And you didn't play for Kirk Keenan?
Right.
Wow.
He just started backpedaling.
Good
for you. I said, when you guys are done with your food, pay your tab, and you're free to leave.
Wow.
LeBron never. And that was another thing. I'm like, players aren't allowed just to tell coach, hey, I'm going to hang back and go out to eat with some of my boys. I'll catch up with you guys in the next town tomorrow.
Wow.
Are they?
I got to tell you, Jeff, that's what I wish Gator had done. And I'm not mad at you, Gator, but that when you catch someone and you can
yeah.
slowly unravel their story right to
you
them,
gotta
that's got to
bait them into it. Gator, you got to throw the line.
Oh,
on
listen, I would. You have no idea. Of course I would. Today, it'd be a whole different story than what it was, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago.
You're really good at it.
Yeah.
Like you,
I enjoy it. I really do enjoy
pair
it.
Pair the Red Wing at the blackjack table at a casino.
Pretty sure you're not pear juice, but thank you.
Let's go to Joy and Warren. Hi, Joy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I used to work at a flower shop in Warren, and this really old guy in his 70s came in, and I had a Tiger hoodie on. It was the night before they were coming back up from spring training, and he says, oh, you're a Tiger fan? And I said, yeah. And he says, oh, I bet you know my son, Brandon Inge. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he says, I got to take some flowers to a little girl across the street because he's not up here yet and she's in the hospital. And, you know, so I helped him out and got his flowers. And he says, you know, I can probably get you in a suite and a parking pass if you give me your address because you helped me out so good here, you know. And I said, well, yeah, we've had season tickets for like 20-some years. And he says, okay, well, give me your address. So I didn't think anything of it. And then a couple months later, my friend calls me up and says, you better watch Fox 2 tonight because that guy that told you he was Brandon Inge's dad is going all around southeastern Michigan saying he's his dad and he's not. And he's promising all these Little League teams free equipment. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So they had him on the Hall of Shame, and they tried to confront him and said he didn't know what they were talking about. And they've got his kids who are adults, and they said, we don't know why he's doing this. We're asking him to stop doing it. And so it was kind of crazy. He came in like a year later, and my boss goes, that's the guy who said he's Brandon Inge's dad. And I said, that's right. And he said something. I go, aren't you Brandon Inge's dad? He says, Oh no, but he was actually, my daughter was on the Olympic swimming team and she went to Michigan. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So he paid with a charge card and I looked at his license and it was the same guy. He was from Brownstown, but this was in Warren and he was just going all over the place making
wow.
up stuff about being Inge's dad. So
yeah, I saw that. I just Googled a story about this from 2007. Creepy imposter goes around claiming to be Tiger player Brandon Inge's dad. Because an old man goes around Metro Detroit saying he's Dwight Inge, the father of Tigers ballplayer Brandon Inge. He promised a lot of people and charities fabulous donations and perks, all in Brandon's name. A man claiming to be Dwight Inge, breaking a lot of hearts. Lives in Flat Rock. Says he lives in Gros Eel. Yeah, that's terrible.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.